Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
My name is Jennifer Hodgden. I'm J. Hodgden on Drupal.org. My background, I have a PhD in physics. I've worked on Wall Street. I have the straight and linear career path that many people that are interested in Drupal have. And I got interested in Drupal because I was using WordPress and, as anyone who's used WordPress finds out, eventually you need to do something more.
And so talk about your role as the API documentation lead. What's that mean?
What it means is that last year, the economy was kind of bad and I had a lot of time on my hands. So I started trying to figure out how I could contribute more to Drupal, and I got into doing documentation. I guess I'd started doing documentation sometime before that, but I really got into doing API documentation because I'm a coder and I like to write, so it's a good combination. And I just started writing a lot of patches for Drupal documentation, and eventually I sort of became the coordinator of API documentation because no one else was writing a lot of patches for API documentation, so that's sort of how it came about.
And so the api.drupal.org is sort of the output, I guess, of a lot of your work. So maybe talk about that connection there and what you're intending or trying to do when you're looking at the code.
So, api.drupal.org is where coders go for reference. And so we'd like it to be accurate, we'd like it to be clear, and we'd like it to be consistent. And so we have standards for how the API documentation should be written, and then the API module takes that and turns it into a consistent, web-readable, nice formatted API documentation. And I also think that if you're reading the Drupal code itself, you should have nice function headers, and the two go well together. So, my vision is nothing more complex than that. You should be able to find documentation on api.drupal.org, and it should be usable.
And so you're helping run the documentation sprint right now here, the days before DrupalCon. So talk about what type of work are you guys doing, and how are you trying to herd all these cats to be productive?
So my goal in having documentation sprints is to get new documentation contributors up to speed so that then they can continue to work on documentation on their own. I never get any work done on a documentation sprint day because I'm too busy herding the cats, as you put it. So what I'm trying to do is get people up to speed for purposes of API documentation on CVS, making patches, how to review a patch for documentation, what the documentation standards are, and how to search the issue queue and basic stuff like that, so that then down the road they can keep contributing to documentation as they have time. And I really think it's a great way for people to get involved in Drupal, because especially coders, if they're not familiar with the entire Drupal code base, you start documenting it, you learn it pretty well. And that's kind of where I came from.
And so are you primarily focusing on Drupal 7, or you're also kind of backporting to Drupal 6?
We have 4 pages or so of issues in the documentation component on the Drupal issue queue, and about half of them are Drupal 7, about half of them are Drupal 6. And I personally am more focused on Drupal 7, but there are a lot of people, the reality is there are a lot of people still using Drupal 6, including me, and we still need to have it well documented as well. So I am happy for anyone to contribute to whatever they're comfortable with. And if someone is real comfortable with Drupal 6 and they want to make patches for Drupal 6, I'm happy for that. And if someone wants to get involved in Drupal 7 and start learning it, I'm happy for that too.
And so I guess during the development cycle of Drupal 7, you have a lot of different coders that are putting in new functions and they may or may not be, documented all the way. So at what point do you come in and, are people interfacing with you in order to get patches in, or, do the patches have to be documented before they get committed or not? Maybe talk about that whole process.
I guess the answer to that is that I would love it if there was, if no patch went in until its documentation had been reviewed. Patches ought to be reviewed for documentation, they ought to be reviewed for security, and they ought to be reviewed for coding standards. And I don't know that they are. I don't read every patch in the Drupal issue queue. I can't possibly review every patch for documentation, and nobody asks me to review all the patches for documentation. If someone asked me to review a patch for documentation, I would definitely do it, if I'm on IRC and they could ask for it. But, I would like to see a process started, where every patch had some basic, you know, security coding standards and documentation review, and maybe there's some other things that they needed to be reviewed for too. And there isn't that process right now.
And so when you look at the coverage of documentation in Drupal 7, like, you know, where was it at before you started and where is that now?
Dries and Angela didn't really commit that many patches that didn't have any function header documentation. So there aren't too many functions in Drupal 7 that are completely undocumented. I mean, I've certainly documented a few, but mostly what I've been doing is fixing the documentation so it actually matches what the function does. And there are a lot of undocumented hooks still. So there's an effort underway to document the new hooks. And, you know, just trying to clean up the documentation has been more my effort rather than, you know, writing completely new documentation. So I would say that it's, you know, the coverage is reasonable. I mean, there are still a few undocumented functions, I'm sure. I know of some. So I think the coverage is reasonable, but I don't know that the correctness and completeness is there yet.
And a lot of times when people look at the size of Drupal, they may see that, you know, the lines of, you know, total code or the size, and, you know, they may not realize that a significant portion of that is actual commenting and documentation. So maybe you could sort of talk about that breakup a little bit.
Yeah, I think there should be about 3 lines of doc for every line of code, just in general in software development. I mean, the problem with just writing code without documentation is that, and this is true for any project, I think, and any developer, is that if you go away from the code for a couple months and come back, or go away from one particular piece of the code and come back, which is quite possible to do in Drupal, it's a huge code base, you know, are you going to remember what you were trying to do? And so that's the purpose of documentation in code, is to explain what you were trying to do so that you or someone else can come back and look at it. And so I think it's really important to document code. You know, and some of that's in code comments. The documentation headers are more useful for people who are trying to use the functions. And obviously in Drupal, a lot of the functions in there are meant to be used in modules, in contributed modules, and elsewhere in the code. And I just think it's one of those essentials that you have to do in any software project, and Drupal is mature enough that it needs to be at that stage.
Is there any specific example, module, or place in the Drupal code that you point people towards when they're first getting started into documenting, or what are some of the things that you are telling people to get them up to speed to help, you know, see some examples of how it should be done and how they can start, you know, getting involved?
Well, we have a page in the coding standards section on Drupal.org. So if you go to Drupal.org/coding standards with a hyphen in there. Anyway, if you find the coding standards page on Drupal.org, there's a subpage in there for the Doxygen documentation, and that has a lot of examples of how to properly document files and functions, and we'll soon hopefully have some section on documenting classes once we figure out what the standards are. So that's where I usually point people rather than saying, go look at this file and it's got perfect documentation in it, because the coding standards page is our reference. So I would say that that's the best place to point people. Today, you know, getting new people up to speed, if they don't know about CVS, we have documentation on that. If they don't know about the issue queue, I'll go to the issue queue with them and help them search. But mainly for standards, I would just point them to that coding standards page.
And finally, when you look at JavaScript, it's not something that necessarily, you know, complies with the Doxygen standard. So what's going on in terms of documenting the JavaScript code that we have in Drupal?
What's going on, or what would I like to have be going on? Obviously, we need to have documentation for everything in Drupal, whether it's, you know, PHP or JavaScript, or, you know, who knows what else we might eventually have in the code base. Right now, that's in its infancy. I don't know if anyone's even working on that. If they are, I'm not really aware of it. I know there's been an issue filed, but there have been so many other things going on that hasn't been prioritized yet.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.